and Jesse comes crashing in, looking like he's been electrocuted. He's visibly shaking, and the main artery in his neck is bulging. He holds up something in his hand. "What the fuck is this?" He looks like he could spontaneously combust at any moment. I frown, but then realize he's holding up a sheet of flight details. Patrick must have slipped them into my bag. Oh, Jesus, I'm in for it now. Hang on a minute. "You've been through my bag." I'm shocked. I don't know why he invades my privacy all the fucking time. He doesn't look ashamed or apologetic. He just waves the paper in front of my face while his chest puffs in and out erratically. I push past him and storm downstairs to my bag, hearing him follow me, his heavy breathing almost louder than his charging footsteps. I rip my bag from the floor and take it into the kitchen. "What the hell are you doing?" he shouts. "It's not in there, it's here." He thrusts the paper under my nose as I dump my bag on the island and start rummaging through it. I've no idea what I'm looking for. "You're not fucking going to Sweden or Denmark or any fucking where for that matter." His voice is somewhere between anger and fear. I look at him. Yes, there is definitely fear in there. "Don't go through my bag." I grind the words out through my incensed frustration and look at him accusingly. He backs away a little and chucks the paper on the island while maintaining his infuriated glare.
"Why? What else are you hiding from me?"
"Nothing."
"Let me tell you something, lady."
He stalks forward, getting his face right in mine.
"I will die before I let you leave the country with that womanizing prick."
A wave of pure dread travels across his face.
"He won't be coming,"
I shout, slamming my bag down for effect. I don't know that for sure, and in actual fact, I suspect he probably will. He's got a plan and a motive.
"Yes, he will. He'll follow you there, trust me. He's relentless in his pursuit of women."
I actually laugh.
"Just like you?" "That was different," he barks.
He closes his eyes and lifts his fingertips to his temples to start rubbing away the tension.
"You're impossible," I spit.
"And what are you doing taking vitamins?" he scowls, good and proper.
"You're pregnant, aren't you?"
I grab the vitamins from my bag and throw them at his head. His eyes widen as he ducks stealthily out of the way, and they crash against the wall before falling to the kitchen floor. I need to regain some control. I'm losing it in a big way.
"I bought the vitamins for you," I yell,
and he looks at me like I could possibly be a Fruit Loop.
"I'm close." "Why?"
He looks at the bottle on the floor.
"You put your body through the mill. Have you forgotten?"
He scoffs.
"I don't need pills, Ava. I've told you."
He stalks forward and grabs my arms, pulling me close to his face.
"I am not a fucking alcoholic. If I drink now, it will be because you make me crazy mad."
He shouts the last bit in my face.
"You blame this all on me,"
I state. I'm not asking it as a question, because he has already shouted it in my face. He drops me and walks away.
"No, I don't."
His hands yank on the back of his hair in frustration.
"What else are you keeping from me? Business trips with rich Dutchmen?"
He glares at me.
"Cozy visits to the ex-boyfriend?"
"Cozy?" I splutter. "You think seeing Matt was cozy?"
"You stupid fucking man!"
"Mouth!
Get lost!"
I shout. He's on another fucking planet. If he knows me as well as he claims he does, then he wouldn't be throwing such stupid insinuations around.
"I can't be around you right now,"
he bellows. He clenches his teeth, and I see the muscles of his jaw ticking.
"I fucking love you, Ava, so fucking much, but I can't look at you. This is fucked up!
He stalks out of the kitchen. I hear the front door slam, and a moment later an almighty crash. I run out to the penthouse foyer, and Jesse is nowhere to be seen, but the mirrored door of the elevator is shattered into a million pieces. Through my derangement, I instantly think of what further damage he has done to his poor hand. Then I cry, hopeless howl at the moon blubbering. I feel completely helpless and out of control. I feel like I'm being tested, like he's trying me to see if I have the strength to get him through this total mess. And on top of that, I'm battling with the incessant niggling thought that it's me who has made him like this. It's not healthy. I walk back into the big open living area and see all of my bags placed in a neat row at the side of the stairs. What should I do with them? Am I staying? I leave them, and not knowing what else to do, I go and sit myself on a sun lounger on the decking area and cry to myself, loud, shoulder-shaking, pouring tears, crying, while I try to find some direction and guidance. I'm staring into space and feeling nothing but abandoned. Familiar feelings, all of which I never wanted to feel again, are flooding back into me. The empty feeling, the lost, lonely, and dejected emotions that had me residing in the lowest level of hell while Jesse wasn't in my life. How have I come to need him so much? How has this happened to me? He's walked out, and now I've got a good idea of how he felt when I did the same to him. I feel like a massive part of me is missing. It is. I take myself back upstairs and have a shower and stand for an age under the spray, absent-mindedly soaping my body. Everywhere I turn, I see us, Jesse and me on the vanity unit, against the wall, in the shower. We're everywhere. I hurry out, suddenly desperate to escape the reminder of our intimacies, and dry my hair before flopping on the bed. I'm not sure how long I'm sitting staring blankly at the ceiling. Minutes? Hours? The dry tears making my skin stingy and tight should tell me. I try not to, but I reflect back, thinking of the times we have been apart when he's had a drink. Will he have a drink now? The thought has my heart starting a painful gallop in my chest, working its way up to my mouth. The idea of Jesse mixed with alcohol is enough to have me dashing to the kitchen to get my phone. As I enter, I get a waft of something smelling really good. Oh! I run to the oven and turn it off, grab my phone, and dial John. His low rumble seeps down the phone after the first ring.
He's here, Ava.
The manor? I'm so relieved, but at the same time I wonder what he's doing there.
Yeah.
John sounds regretful. It makes me straighten up. Should I come? I don't know why I'm asking when I'm already on my way upstairs to get dressed. He hums down the phone.
Probably, girl. He went straight to his office.
I hang up, throw some clothes on, and head for the door. My car keys. Jesse hasn't given me my car keys back. I dive into the boxes of my belongings, praying I'll find the spare set, and eventually lay my hands on them. I'm in the foyer of Luso in no time at all, running through, my heels clinking fast over the floor. I notice Clive kneeling down behind his desk, but I swiftly pass him without a word. I've no time for him this evening. The poor man will wonder what he has done to upset me.
Ava!
I hear him call after me. I wouldn't stop, but it sounds like something is seriously wrong. Maybe the mystery woman has been back.
What's up, Clive?
He runs toward me in a panic.
You can't go.
What's he talking about?
Mr. Ward, he pants. He said you mustn't leave Luso. He was very insistent.
Clive, I haven't time for this. I carry on my way, but he grasps my arm.
Please, Ava, I'll have to call him.
I don't believe this. He's got the concierge performing prisoner guard duties now. Clive, it's not your job to do this, I point out. Please let go of my arm.
Well, I did say as much myself, but Mr. Ward can be very insistent.
How much, Clive?
I don't know what you're talking about,
he says quickly, rearranging his hat with his spare hand. He couldn't look guiltier if he tried. I pull my arm free from Clive's grasp and walk over to the concierge desk.
Where do you keep Mr. Ward's numbers?
I ask, scanning the high-tech display screens in front of me. I notice Clive's mobile sitting on the desk, too. Clive walks over with a befuddled look on his face.
It's all linked to the phone through the system. Why do you ask?
Do you have Mr. Ward's number on your mobile? I ask.
No, Ava. It's all pre-programmed into the system. Residence confidentiality and all.
Good. I yank out the wires leading from the phone system to the computer and drop them in a tangled mess to the floor where they meet Clive's jaw. I hear the poor old boy's shocked mumbling on my way out and feel a small pang of guilt. That will be yet another repair bill falling on the doormat of the penthouse. Jumping in my car, I immediately notice the small black box on the dashboard, and knowing what it is, I press it, and the gates to Luso begin to open. The whole way to the manor, I pray repeatedly that I'm not going to find Jesse with a drink in his hand. This will be the first time I've been back since my discovery of its offered activities. But my need to see Jesse is overriding any nerves or reluctance I have. Chapter 15. John opens the manor door before I reach it and offers me a small, reassuring smile.
Has he calmed down?
I ask as we walk past the bar and reach the summer room. There are people scattered around the seating areas, drinking and talking, probably discussing what the evening may have in store, and I'm assaulted by a dozen inquisitive stares. I tense all over.
Damn girl! You affect that motherfucker.
John laughs, giving me a glimpse of that gold tooth. I let out a rush of breath in agreement. My man is challenging. John looks over at me and smiles.
Challenging? That's a word. I call him a fucking pain in the arse. I've got to admire his determination, though.
Determination? I feel my brow knit.
Determination to be challenging?
John stops as we reach Jesse's office.
I've never seen him so determined to live.
What do you mean by that? I can't help the confusion in my tone. I can't see any determination to live. All I see is determination to kill himself off from stress. He's completely self-destructive. My breath hitches in my throat. Self-destructive. Jesse has said that before, when he took me on his bike.
Trust me, it's a good thing.
John looks at me affectionately.
Be easy on him.
How long have you known him, John?
Long enough, girl. I'll leave you to it.
He takes his mountain of a body and strides off down the corridor.
Thanks, John. I say to his back.
It's all good, girl. It's all good.
I stand outside Jesse's office, with my hand hovering over the doorknob. John's unexpected information, albeit vague, has piqued my curiosity more. My mind is racing with thoughts of alcohol, dabbling, lack of leathers, and scars. I turn the handle and walk, with caution, into Jesse's office. And I don't like what I see. Jesse is in his big office chair, facing Sarah, who is perched on the corner of his desk. A thud of possessiveness slaps me in the face.
but it's the bottle of vodka on Jesse's desk that has me more fretful. I can fight off unwanted female attention, as long as it's unwanted. The vodka is another matter entirely. They look up at me in unison, and she flashes me an insincere smile. Then, I notice a bag of ice resting on Jesse's hand. I was right to have a touch of the green-eyed monster. They look, in Jesse's words, very cozy. Now there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that these two have had a sexual relationship. It's written all over her face. I feel sick, jealous, and dangerously possessive. I look at Jesse, and he meets my gaze. He's still in his charcoal trousers, but the sleeves of his black shirt are rolled up. His dirty blonde hair is a glorious mess on top of his beautiful head, but despite all of his loveliness, he looks fearful and uneasy. I don't blame him. I've just walked in on him looking cozy, with another woman, and with a bottle of the evil stuff in front of him. It's my worst nightmares wrapped into one. He slowly turns his chair with his feet, away from Sarah and toward me. "Have you had a drink?" My voice is even and strong. I feel anything but. He shakes his head. "No." I'm uncertain as to whether the small voice is due to the woman or the vodka. He drops his head slightly, and the silence is awkward, but then Sarah rests a hand on Jesse's arm, and I want to dive on the desk and yank her hair out. Jesse flinches and snaps his eyes to mine. Who the fuck does she think she is? I'm not naive enough to believe that she's trying to be a supportive friend. I'm suddenly furious with myself for allowing another woman the opportunity to comfort him, especially this woman. That's my job. Do you mind? I look directly at her so there's no mistaking whom I'm talking to. She looks up at me, but makes no attempt to remove her hand from Jesse. Excuse me? You heard me. I flash her a don't fuck with me glare, and she smirks an almost undetectable smirk. Jesse pulls his arm away, and her hand falls to the desk. Then he flicks his eyes nervously between us. God bless him. He's keeping his mouth firmly shut. But then the bitch only leans down and kisses him on the cheek, letting her lips linger there for longer than is really necessary. "Call me if you need me, sweetie," she says in the most ridiculous, seductive voice I've ever heard. Jesse stiffens from head to toe and looks at me, all wide-eyed and alarmed. He's right to be anxious, especially after the barrel of shit he's just thrown at me because of a male client and an ex-boyfriend. Matt and Michael would be a mass of body parts if the boot was on the other foot. I grab his office door and open it wide before fixing my eyes on the blonde, larger-than-life tramp. "Goodbye, Sarah," I say with optimum finality. She looks at me with a self-assured face and slides off Jesse's desk, sauntering across his office at a leisurely pace while giving me the eyeball. I hold her cocky face with my own take-no-prisoner stare all the way to the door that I'm holding open for her, and as soon as her 6-inch platform heels are over the threshold, I slam it behind her and silently hope it collided with her toned arse. Now let's deal with my challenging man. Seeing him sitting there with Sarah has made something perfectly clear to me. He's mine. End of. I turn to face him. He hasn't moved from his chair. The bottle of vodka is still in the middle of his desk, and he's chewing his bloody lip, cogs steaming. I nod at the bottle. Why is that there?
I don't know.
His face is tortured, and it kills me to be on the other side of the room from him. Do you want to drink it?
Not now you're here.
His quiet words register loud and clear. You walked out on me, I remind him.
I know.
What if I hadn't come? that's the operative question here. I'm revisiting the same thing over and over in my mind. He behaves like this is a piece of cake. But then I find him keeping company with a woman and a bottle of vodka because we've had words. I can't worry like this every time we quarrel. I wouldn't have drunk it. He pushes it away. Then why is it there? He shrugs casually. It makes me mad. My fear was warranted, and he expects me to accept his vague answers and shoulder shrugs.
I wasn't going to drink it, Ava.
His voice is slightly irritated. Would you drink it if I leave? His eyes fly to mine, panic invading his handsome face.
Are you going to leave me?
You need to give me some answers. I'm threatening him, but I feel like it's my only option. There are some things he needs to tell me. Why is Michael so interested in our relationship?
His wife left him.
He spits the words out quickly. Because you slept with her?
Yes.
When?
Months ago, Ava.
He looks at me, sincerity in his eyes.
She was the woman who turned up at Luso. I'll tell you before you threaten to leave me again.
There's a dash of sarcasm in his tone, which I ignore. She wasn't worried about you, was she?
Yes, probably. But she wants me, too.
Who wouldn't? I feel incredibly calm. He nods mildly.
I've made it clear, Ava. I slept with her months ago, and she'd gone back to Denmark. I don't know why she's decided to pursue me now.
I believe him. And anyway, Michael has been sorting his divorce out, and divorcing someone takes time. It must have been some months ago. So he wants to take me away from you, like you took his wife from him. He drops his head to his hands.
I didn't take her away, Ava. She left of her own accord, but yes, he does want to take you away from me.
But you were all friendly. You bought Luso. My head is hurting.
It's just a front, Ava, on his part. He had nothing on me. Nothing he could hurt me with because I didn't care about anything. But now I have you. He looks up at me. Now he knows where to stick the knife in.
My eyes start to prickle, and I watch as his face falls, his own eyes glazing over. That's as much as I can take being this far away from him. I walk over to his chair, and he opens his arms to me. I ignore his swollen hand and crawl onto his lap, letting him swamp me in his arms and invade all of my senses. His touch and his smell settle me immediately, and the inevitable happens when we unite with each other like this. All of the issues causing us turmoil seem inconsequential and of no importance. It's just us, in our own little sphere of contentment, soothing each other, settling each other.
I'll die loving you.
I can't let you go to Sweden. I sigh. I know.
And you should have let me deal with your things. I didn't want you seeing him.
He adds. I'm submitting to him now, but I don't care. I know. He knows about you. I feel him stiffen under me.
Knows about me?
He told me you're a raving alcoholic. He relaxes and laughs.
I'm a raving alcoholic.
I look up at him, shocked by his blasé reaction to something so detrimental. It's not funny. How does he know?
Ava, I honestly have no idea.
He sighs.
Anyway, he's misinformed because I'm not an alcoholic.
Yes, I know. I relent. But I'm pretty sure that Jesse's issue with drink would register somewhere on the alcoholic scale. Jesse, what am I going to do? Michael is an important client. I suddenly have a horribly unpleasant thought. Did he rehire me for the life building just because of you? He smiles.
No, Ava. He didn't even know about us. Until yesterday. He hired you because you're a talented designer. The fact that you're also stunningly beautiful was an additional benefit. And the fact that I happened to fall in love with you was an even bigger bonus for him.
You exposed yourself, I say quietly. If you hadn't trampled my meeting, then he might never have made the connection.
I acted on impulse when I saw your diary.
He shrugs.
Anyway, he would have pursued you, whether he knew you were mine or not. Like I said, he's relentless.
I remember his eyes bulging and his jaw ticking when he clocked my diary. It wasn't because I've replaced it. It's because Michael's name was plastered all over it.
How do you know? He's married.
Well, was married.
That never stopped him before, Ava.
I'm in absolute mental meltdown. I can't possibly work with Michael now, not after discovering this. I don't want to be anywhere near him. Oh, God, I'm supposed to be meeting him on Monday. This is going to get horribly messy. I want to yell at Jesse for not keeping it in his pants. I think back to that nasty creature John ejected from the manor the day I discovered what it really was. He was bawling on about husbands and conscience not getting in Jesse's way. How many marriages has Jesse broken? How many husbands out there want revenge? I'm snapped from my unwelcome thoughts when Jesse cups my face with his hand.
How did you get here?
I grin. I distracted your appointed guard. His eyes sparkle, his lips twitch.
I shall have to sack him. How did you manage that?
I lose my grin when I consider the repair bill Jesse will be getting. Jesse, he's 60 if a day. I disconnected his telephone system so he couldn't advise you of my escape from your tower in the sky.
Our tower. Disconnected?
His frown line is light across his forehead. I bury my face back in his chest. I ripped the wires out.
Oh, he says flatly, but I know he's suppressing a laugh.
What are you playing at, getting a pensioner to try and keep me indoors? I ask accusingly. I could have outrun Clive even in my heels. He strokes my hair softly.
I didn't want you to leave.
Well, you should have stayed yourself then. I pull his shirt out of his trousers and slide my hands up to get my fix of his warm chest. He tightens his hold of me, and I feel his beating heart under my palms. It's so comforting.
I was crazy mad, he sighs. You make me crazy mad.
He kisses my temple and burrows deeply into my hair. How's your hand?
It would be fine if I didn't keep smashing it into things, he answers dryly.
I wriggle free of his embrace. Let me see. I sit up on his lap, and he pulls his hand from behind me to rest between our bodies. I gingerly take it. He doesn't wince, but I flick him a quick glance to check his face isn't pained. The glass door of the elevator was in a million pieces, and I expected his hand to be.
I'm fine.
You smashed the elevator door, I say, stroking his recovering fist.
I was really mad.
You already told me that. What about the hijacking of my office this afternoon? Were you crazy mad then?
Yes, I was.
He narrows his eyes on me, but then he grins.
A bit like you were just now.
I wasn't mad, Jesse. I look at his damaged hand with a pity I feel for the pathetic woman I've just evicted from his office. I was marking what's mine.
She wants you.
She couldn't have been more obvious if she'd straddled you and thrust her tits in your face. I screw my face up in disgust at her desperation, looking up to find his grin has broken out into a full-on Hollywood-worthy beam. This smile is a step up from his one reserved only for women. This smile is reserved only for me. I can't help the little smile tickling the corners of my mouth. You look very happy with yourself. He brushes me away from fussing over his hand.
Oh, I am. I like it when you're all possessive and protective. It tells me you're crazy in love with me.
I am. Even though you are stupidly challenging. And don't be calling Sarah sweetie, I mock. He circles our noses and pushes his lips onto mine.
I won't.
You've slept with her. It's a statement, not a question. He recoils, his green pools all wide and wary. I roll my eyes.
A dabble? I ask.
His eyes drop down slightly.
Yeah.
His expression and body language scream uncomfortable. He's not happy with this line of conversation.
I bloody knew it.
Okay, that's fine. I can cope with this, as long as he keeps the hussy at arm's length, or farther. That might be bloody hard when the woman works for him and follows him around like a lost puppy. I just want to say one thing, I press. I need to make this clear if I'm ever going to keep company both socially and professionally with any men in future, although I'm fully aware that Jesse's possessive streak is never going to go away completely. It's all about you. I drop a kiss onto his lips to reinforce my declaration.
It's all about me.
He mumbles against me. I grin. Good boy. He pulls back and runs his fingers down my neck, his eyes full of satisfaction.
I love you, Ava.
I rest my cheek on his shoulder.
I know. Take the day off work tomorrow.
I've not even advised Patrick of my afternoon appointment with Mr. Ward, but I need a break, and a long weekend with Jesse is hard to turn down. I've no appointments, and I'm ridiculously up to date with everything else. Patrick owes me a few days in lieu. He won't mind. I pull myself away from his chest.
Okay.
He frowns, like I'm going to retract my answer or add a but to it.
Really?
His eyes twinkle as his lips tip at the edges.
You're being very reasonable. That's not like you.
My eyes bulge at his comment. I know he knows that he's the unreasonable one. He's playing on it. I don't bite. I'm ignoring you, I grumble.
Not for long. I'm taking you home, to our tower in the sky. I've not been inside you for way too long.
He stands and props me on my feet.
Shall we?
He cocks his arm out, and I link it with mine, my stomach clenching at the prospects awaiting me when we get home.
I fancy a bit of rowing, I flip casually.
He raises a sardonic eyebrow at me.
We'll row another day, baby. I want to make love,
he says softly, looking down at me. I smile. He leads me through the summer room to the entrance hall, and I ignore the disappointed faces on all of the women we pass, all obviously hoping we would be leaving separately. John meets us at the door and gives me his distinguished smile.
I'll see you tomorrow,
Jesse informs him as he opens the door for me.
So good.
He slaps Jesse on the shoulder and walks off in the direction of the bar. Jesse places his hand in the small of my back to guide me out, and as I turn, I catch a glimpse of Sarah standing in the doorway of the bar. She greets John, but her eyes are fixed firmly on me and Jesse leaving the manor. There is no mistaking the look of bitterness on her pouty face. I predict handbags at dawn.
Leave your car. We'll get it tomorrow,
he says as he opens the passenger door to his Aston Martin. I don't argue. As we make our way down the long driveway, we pass Sam's Porsche headed toward the manor. I bolt upright in my seat. Hey, there's Kate, I blurt. Sam honks his horn and puts his thumb up to Jesse, and I crane my neck as we pass them. Kate puts a reluctant hand up to me. What's she doing here? I look at Jesse, who keeps his eyes on the road. Oh, good God. She's a member, isn't she? I ask accusingly.
I don't discuss members. Confidentiality.
He's deadpan.
So she is a member.
He shrugs and presses a button to open the gates. The little minx. Why hasn't she told me? Is she here for all things kinky in general, or is she here for Sam specifically? Christ, just when I thought my fiery friend couldn't surprise me more. Jesse roars off down the road and plays with a few buttons on the steering wheel, the stereo kicking in and surrounding us with a distinct male voice. Who's this? He starts tapping the steering wheel.
John Legend. You like?
Oh, I do. I reach over to the steering wheel, and Jesse slides his hands down to give me access to the controls. I locate the right one and turn it up more.
I'll take that as a yes.
He smirks and reaches over to place his hand on my knee. I cover it with mine. Is your hand okay?
Fine. Unravel your knickers, lady.
I need to text Patrick.
Yes, do. I'm looking forward to having you all to myself tomorrow and all weekend.
He removes his hand from my knee and replaces it on the steering wheel. I fire a quick text over to Patrick, and as expected, he replies speedily, telling me to have a well-deserved day off. Perfect. 3 days straight of undisturbed time on Central Jesse Cloud 9. Chapter 16. We stroll into Luso hand in hand, and Clive gives me a disapproving glare. My apologetic look doesn't seem to wash.
Mr. Ward,
he says cautiously, still eyeing me.
Clive,
Jesse nods and leads me to the elevator without another word. As the doors close, I'm not surprised to be thrust up against the wall, the full length of his body cocooning mine. The powerful throb I'm so familiar with these days drops straight into my groin and has my veins heating immediately. He slips his leg between my thighs and raises it, brushing over my core, and, just like that, I'm panting.
You've upset the concierge,
he breathes, his lips close to mine. Damn, I force the word out through my strangled breaths, and he crashes his lips to mine, taking them with conviction and purpose, while grinding his beating erection against me. Oh, Lord, I want to rip his clothes off. But this most certainly isn't making love. Not that I would even dream of complaining.
Why aren't you wearing a dress?
He asks irritably, between plunging his tongue in and out urgently. I'm asking myself the very same question. It would be around my waist by now, and he would be inside me. I'm running out of dresses. He moans into my mouth.
Tomorrow, we buy only dresses.
He thrusts his hips forward and upward, colliding with and rubbing against my core. I sigh in pure, uninhibited pleasure. Tomorrow we buy one dress. I reach down between us and unfasten his belt as he breaks away from my lips and rolls his damp forehead over mine, his eyes shining with approval, his lips parted. I rub the back of my palm over his trousers, feeling him twitch and jerk beneath my touch while I run a trail across his bottom lip with my tongue. Then I unzip him and reach in to free his raging hard-on. taking a firm grip at the base, squeezing lightly. He closes his eyes tight.
"Mouth,"
he commands gently. The elevator doors open onto the penthouse foyer, and I've never been more relieved that it's the only lift that comes up to the top floor. I slide my back down the wall until I'm crouched in front of him, but his hot, throbbing cock is not the only thing that has my interest. His angry scar catches my attention. I've made a pact with myself to not ask any more, but I can't help my curiosity, especially after what John said about Jesse being self-destructive. I look up at him, finding his arms rigid and braced against the wall above my head, his eyes on me.
"What are you waiting for?"
he asks me, thrusting his hips forward impatiently. All thoughts of mystery scars are expelled, as I remember the last time I took him like this, how brutal he was. Will he be like that again? I drag my eyes away from his carnal stare and flex my grip on his throbbing cock. Then, reaching forward, I lap up the leaking bead of cum from his swollen crown and slowly draw my hand forward, hearing him moan low in his throat, his hips shaking slightly. His breathing quickens with each lazy stroke I draw, his lower abdomen rising and falling before my eyes, and when I hear him curse, I wickedly lap at his balls before gliding my tongue slowly but firmly up the underside, rising on my legs slightly to ensure I reach the very tip.
"All the way, Ava,"
he pants. I'm aware of the door on the elevator closing again, and Jesse reaching over, slamming his fist against the button before returning his hand to the wall behind me. Wrapping my lips around his head, I circle my tongue slowly, delicately. He shudders. I love doing this to him. I love instigating these sounds from his mouth and the reactions from his body. I wait for his surge forward, but it doesn't come. He's struggling. I can feel his tension seeping into my body from our contact. I can see his hips shaking slightly in front of me. I put him out of his misery and take him deep into my mouth until he hits the back of my throat. He feels like velvet on my tongue. Perfect. Right. The suppressed bark he releases as I pull back, lap slowly, and take him again, fills me with satisfaction and confidence. This time, his hips surge forward, and with my head against the wall, there is no retreating space. He moves his hands to cup the back of my head, padding me as he powers forward on a shout, throwing his head back and driving in and out of my mouth purposefully. I remember to relax, my gag reflex working hard, and let my hands drift around his hips to find his tight ass. Then I bury my fingernails into his toned flesh.
"Harder."
His voice is severe and animalistic. I dig in harder.
"Oh, fuck."
He continues with his drives, and I know he's close. I pry one hand off a cheek and reach between his thighs to wrap my fist around his balls. It's his undoing.
"Holy shit,"
he yelps, pulling out to wrap his own fist around the base.
"Keep hold and open your mouth."
His eyes drill into me. I do what I'm told, keeping my tight grip of his heavy sack and opening my mouth, maintaining our eye contact. He pistons his fist back and forth, the muscles in his neck bulging, and on a stifled cry, he rests the broad head of his cock on my lower lip and releases into me, hot, creamy liquid hitting the back of my throat and coating the inside of my mouth. I swallow impulsively. His strokes slow, and I loosen my vice lock around his sack, dragging my hand palm up between his thighs until I meet his slow caresses. curling my hand around his fist. We work him down together, as I lap up the salty essence of him pouring into my mouth. I want one of those every day for the rest of my life. His face is poker straight, his voice deadly serious, and I hope he means from me. From you, he adds, as if reading my mind. I smile and return my attention to his steel length, which is still contracting through both of our hands. I circle and lick, ensuring I've got every last bit of him, and then drop a tender kiss on the very tip. His fingers flex and I release him. Come here. He reaches down and pulls me up against his chest. I love you and your filthy mouth, he says quietly, as he nuzzles my nose with his. I know you do. I reach down to start tucking him back in and refastening his trousers. He lets me finish securing him, and then grabs my hand, pulling me out of the elevator toward the penthouse door. That was a complete waste of time. They'll be off as soon as I get you inside. He lets us in, and the smell of something lovely invades my nostrils. Oh, dinner! I'd completely forgotten about that. Thank God I turned the oven off, or we might have returned to fire engines and yet more damage bills. He leads me into the kitchen and releases my hand to grab an oven glove, putting it on and pulling out an overcooked lasagna. He dumps it on the side, shaking his head. I employ a housekeeper and a cook, and you still manage to burn dinner. What with our screaming match and subsequent makeup, I had forgotten about the poor woman, whom I was so inexcusably rude to. I will have to make amends with her. She probably thinks I'm a total bitch. Will she come back? He laughs. I hope so. He pokes the crusty top layer of the lasagna. Kathy's lasagna is delicious. He focuses his eyes back on me. It looks like I'll have to find something else to eat. Slowly stalking toward me, his green eyes full of promise and pleasure, he wraps his arm around my back and carries me tightly against his chest. I reach up and fan my fingers through his soft, messy mop and frown when he bypasses the stairs, heading for the terrace. Where are we going? I ask as I watch the stairs pass. An alfresco fuck. He pushes his lips to mine. It's a pleasant evening. Let's not waste it. He carries me onto the terrace, the sounds of London by night clear in the cool evening air, and I'm placed on my feet before he starts unbuttoning my blouse, his big fingers struggling with the tiny gold buttons, his concentration frown tickling his forehead. I reach for his trousers and start undoing his belt and fly. Then, starting at the bottom of his shirt, I undo each button slowly, until his delicious chest is warm and firm under my palms. I circle his nipples with my thumbs as he reaches the final button of my blouse before moving to my trousers. Show off, he mutters, his lips finding mine as he starts feeling for my trouser fastening. It's cruel, but I let him search. He feels around the front and then moves his hands to the back. And when he has no luck there either, he growls. Where's the zipper? He moans against my lips. I collect his hands from my back, guiding them to the side fastening of my trousers, and he makes swift work of getting it down and lifting me so I can kick my shoes off. He drags my trousers down. Yet another reason for dresses only, he complains as he pushes my blouse off my shoulders. Anything that stops me from getting to you fast has to go. I smile to myself. Now he's trampling my wardrobe. The cool air attacks my skin, puckering my already solid nipples further. He steps back from me and kicks his Grensons off before removing his socks, trousers, and the rest of his shirt, while running his shimmering eyes up and down my body.
"Lace," he says approvingly,
and then he slowly drags his boxers down his thighs, his cock springing free and ready. I want to drop to my knees and take his deliciousness in my mouth all over again, but the urgent thump in my own groin is demanding attention. I reach around my back and unclasp my bra, letting it fall to the wooden floor, and within a second, his body is pressed up against mine, and he's breathing in my face. I feel him slip a finger into the seam of my underwear and brush across my clitoris, prompting my head to drop to his chest and my hands to grab his arms, steadying myself as his touch sends electric shocks to every nerve ending.
"Wet,"
he says, all low and rough, extending the word as he rolls the tip of his finger around and around, applying a little pressure when he reaches the top.
"Just for me?"
"Just for you," I pant. The satisfying rumble that escapes his lips vibrates in the evening air. I will always be his. My head lifts, and his lips skim against mine, coaxing my mouth to part as my knickers are pushed down my thighs, and his tongue slips between my lips on a shallow moan. The taste of him is addictive, and I return every lap, lick, and stroke with my own, until he pulls away and kneels before me, dragging my underwear off my legs. He wastes no time burying his nose in the hair at the apex of my thighs, and then draws a long, hot, excruciating stroke straight up the center of my core. I moan, my knees buckle, and an almost painful buzzing starts at the very tip of my sex. Oh! His grip strengthens around my hips as he continues his hot trail straight up the center of my body until he's at my neck and then in my mouth, taking it with respect and passion, humming into me. Releasing my lips, he locks eyes with me, his green gaze seeping into me.
"You are my life."
His clear words stab at my heart as he returns to worshipping my mouth delicately, running his palm over my bum and down the back of my thigh. He tugs gently to pull my leg up, so my inner leg cradles his hip. Then he pulls back.
"Do you love me?"
His eyes search mine.
"You know I do," I whisper.
"Say it. I need to hear it."
His voice is laced with desperation. I don't hesitate.
"I love you."
I kiss his moist, full mouth and wrap my arms around his neck, and then gracefully lift myself up his body to straddle him.
"I'll always love you."
I stare him square in his beautiful cloudy green eyes as he positions himself at my entrance. He hovers there, and I struggle to resist sinking down onto him.
"Do you need me?"
he asks.
"I need you."
I know this satisfies him as much, if not more, as "I love you."
"Always,"
he confirms, and then he pushes slowly and with control into me in one patient motion, both of us sucking in sharp breaths as we unite. He holds me to him while we stabilize our breathing, and then walks over to the lounger and lowers me onto it, bringing his body down with me so the connection isn't broken. He stares down at me with a most incredible amount of sincerity gushing from his eyes.
"Feel how perfect we are together."
He slowly withdraws and sinks back in, setting a smooth, steady foundation for what's to come. He wants to really make love.
"Do you feel it?"
he asks softly, repeating the scorching motion, accelerating my need for him.
"I do,"
I confirm quietly. From the very first time we connected, I felt it, probably even the very first time our eyes met. He continues with his slow, restrained strokes, and I shift my hands down to his back, trailing soft flicks over his firm flesh.
"Me too," he whispers. "Let's make love."
I concentrate on absorbing him into me as he seeps back and forth, swiveling his hips each time and carrying me closer to climax. He's looking at me with complete awe and devotion, our eyes burning into each other, his patience and willpower to maintain his steady, luscious pace making me love him all the more. He really does make sweet love. His frown line swims with moisture that shimmers on his brow, even in the cool air surrounding us. Unable to resist, I cup the side of his face, desperate to feel him, as he stares down at me, his shaking body vibrating all over me. He's pulsating inside me, and I instinctively contract around him as he lets out a rush of breath.
"Oh, God, Ava,"
he breathes, sinking in and grinding down hard. The exact strokes of my inner wall are wreaking havoc with my need to thrust up and capture the orgasm that's moving forward. "I can't hold on to it anymore," I pant.
"Together,"
he gasps, and I tense my thighs as he jerks forward again, this time with less control. He puffs uncontrolled spurts of air and rests his forehead on mine as he regains control with another delicious plunge.
"I'm there, Jesse,"
I whimper, feeling my self-control pang and dissipate. I shatter underneath him on a loud cry. He quickens his last few drives, sending himself over the edge with me.
"Oh, Jesus,"
he yells, thrusting one last time and holding himself deep inside me before collapsing on top of me to join me in my aftermath. His erection jumps and jacks as he comes inside me, filling me, heating me, completing me.
"Fuck,"
I muse quietly, my eyes closing in relaxed satisfaction. This man has a direct link to my release switch.
"Mouth,"
he murmurs into my neck through exhausted breaths.
"Do you think you will ever stop swearing?"
"I only swear when you challenge me or pleasure me," I defend myself and trail the word "fuck" across his back with my fingertip. He pushes himself up on his elbow, slipping out of me so he can look down into my eyes. Then he takes his finger and slowly trails the word "mouth" across my breasts before dropping a kiss on each nipple. I grin when he flicks his eyes up to me. They are dancing with mischief as he clamps his teeth lightly on my tight bud.
"Ouch!"
I laugh. He releases and laps a wet circle around my breast and then grabs my hip. I jump under him on a yelp, and he clamps his teeth back down over my nipple. My body stills in a heartbeat as I catch onto his game immediately.
"You can't!"
I cry, as he slowly starts massaging my hip with the tips of his fingers while he remains locked onto my nipple. I clench my eyes shut and wiggle my feet to try and prevent the reflex reaction of bucking him off me.
"Jesse, please stop!"
I hear him chuckle and increase the pressure on my hip and nipple.
"Please!"
I squeal through a giggle. My nipple would probably hurt if I weren't being distracted by the unbearable hip torture. He's driving me insane. My lungs scream a thank you as I release a rush of air and muster up the strength to blank out his torture. I still under him, and after what seems like forever, he eases off my hip bone and starts sucking the life back into my nipple. I sigh. "You'll be the one getting a retribution, fuck." He grabs my hip again.
"Ava!"
He scorns me tiredly before returning his attention to my breasts. I heave a huge contented exhale and close my eyes while Jesse lavishes me with his tongue.
"You're shivering," he says against my chest. "Let me get you inside."
He lifts up, and I grumble an audible objection, yanking him back down onto me, making him chuckle.
"Comfy?"
I can't talk.
"Bed."
He pulls me up so I can wrap myself around him, which I do without delay, sinking my nose into the comfort of his neck. Once he's carried me up to the master suite, I'm lowered into bed, and as soon as Jesse slips in beside me, I crawl onto his chest. He kisses my hair before smoothing his palm up and down my back. I shift closer to him. I can't get near enough. As always, there is no space welcome between us. Chapter 17. I wake up with Jesse buried deep inside me, his chest to my back, as he holds my waist and pumps forward. My brain isn't the only thing woken up. My body jumps to attention, and I reach back and curl my fingers into his hair, arching my back and tilting my head back to find his lips. I let him take my mouth, our tongues delving wildly as he pistons forward. I push myself back onto him with each surge, every one cranking me up further and further.
"Ava, I can't get enough of you,"
he gasps against my mouth.
"Promise you'll never leave me."
"I won't."
I fist my hands in his hair and yank his lips back down to mine. I love his mouth, even when he's being challenging, and I want to sew it shut. Will he always make me swear to stay? I'll always comply, without a shadow of a doubt. But what I really want is for him to know this without having to ask me to repeatedly swear on it. I pull away to look at my uncertain man. He shows such confidence in everything except this.
"Please believe me."
He maintains his firm, powerful drives as he looks at me, offers a small smile, then bangs our mouths back together, increasing the tempo of his thrusts further. I try hard, but I can't keep my mouth to his when he's thundering forward with such intensity. I release him and face forward, gripping the edge of the mattress to keep myself in position as I'm yanked back onto him repeatedly. The coil snaps, and I jerk as we both yell at the same time, and he charges forward manically, throwing me into a bottomless abyss of utter pleasure. I try and catch my breath, my heart fighting to gain control, and my body convulsing of its own accord. Jesse swears and bucks forward one last frenzied time, and then the warm sensation of his release floods me.
"Oh my fucking God,"
he puffs, slipping out of me and falling onto his back. I roll over and climb onto his body, straddling his hips and lying on his chest, nuzzling my face in his neck.
"That wasn't sleepy sex."
"No," he pants.
"No, that was a sleepy fuck."
I wince, immediately realizing that I just swore, and we haven't even gotten out of bed yet.
"For God's sake, Ava, stop swearing."
"Sorry."
I bite his neck and suck a little.
"Are you trying to mark me?"
he asks, but he doesn't stop me.
"No, just tasting."
He lets me have my way, and I spend forever skimming my lips all over his face, his neck, his chest. He sighs deeply.
"Ava?"
"Hmm?"
"I knew you were the one the second I laid eyes on you."
"The one?" I try to lift, but I'm pushed back into his neck. He turns his face and begins nuzzling at my ear.
"The one to bring me back to life."
He says in that matter-of-fact tone, the one that basically means he's saying something only he understands. I make it out of his embrace this time and find his gaze. How did you know? He rolls me onto my back, coating me completely, and looks me straight in the eyes. His greens are bursting with meaning. Because my heart started beating again. A lump jumps into my throat. That is some serious deep, and I'm totally overwhelmed by it. I don't know what to say. He's looking down at me, this devastating man, like I'm the only thing that exists. I pull at his grip on my wrists until he lets go and throw my arms around his body, my legs around his waist, holding onto him like he is the only thing that exists. He is, for me. I don't know the whys and wherefores of that statement, but the power of those words really does say it all. He can't live without me. Well, I couldn't live without him either. This man is my world. He lies still over me and lets me squeeze him until my muscles ache. Can I feed you? I ask, when my thigh muscles start to scream in protest. He lifts me from the bed, still coiled around his body,